It's time for Twake This Week in Google. Jeff and Gina are here. Some new Google features. They're taking one out of Google search. Did you ever use the tilde? Do you even know what it's for? We'll also help Jeff decide, should he buy Google Glass tonight? It's all next on This Week in Google.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 204, recorded June 26th, 2013. The Cloud-Free Cloud. This Week in Google is brought to you by 99designs, the world's largest online graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of over 200,000 graphic designers. With 99designs.com/twig, you'll receive a free consultation. That's 99designs.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, and it's the core cast. Today, Gina Trapani from smarterware.org, thinkup.com, todotext.com.
Federally recognized.
Happilyberry.com.
A little bit legaler.
Federally recognized. The federally recognized Gina Trapani.
Great to be here.
Nice.
Very
to
happy
have
today.
You. Welcome.
I got my Angular shirt on today.
Oh, I like that. What's that mean?
It's Angular is Google's open source model view controller, MVC, JavaScript framework.
Well, there you go.
I know, that's a mouthful.
There
like,
you go.
And it turns out that it's actually a really great framework. So I'm now, I got the company shirt on today.
Weren't you using the Twitter one?
Bootstrap is kind of like a CSS layout framework.
Oh, okay.
Angular is like is more
JavaScript.
For like Ajax-y kind of.
So they're not incompatible. They're not.
No, they're not. They're not. Yeah, Angular's more like jQuery.
Exclusive. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jeff Jarvis over there.
Speaking of jQueries.
JJ Query. Good to have you from buzzmachine.com and points all over the world. Glad to see you're back home.
I'm so glad to be back home.
I bet you are. Bet you are indeed. Well, first of all, congratulations, Gina, on the Supreme Court ruling this morning, overturning the Defense of Marriage Act by a 5-4 majority. I know that makes you very happy.
It does. It does. Thank you very, very much.
And very legal.
And very legal.
More
yes,
to the
my
point.
Marriage is now. I can now file joint tax returns. I never thought I'd be this excited about something like that.
So you ran out and celebrated by buying a
HTC One. HTC One. Google Edition.
Because we are one.
Was we are one. Exactly. I was hoping Google would have like the Rainbow Edition, but alas.
A lot of people, everybody was tweeting, oh, look, when you search for gay marriage on Google, you get the rainbow. But that's an old
like one. It's there for Gay Pride Week.
Yeah.
That's the Gay Pride Week thing. Yeah, they do that every year. Every year they've got rainbow. It just was very well timed.
Very yes. well timed this year. And very nice.
Yeah.
If you search for Stonewall, you get it too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, if you search for marriage equality, there's a few search terms that you get it. Yep.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, that makes me happy, of course.
Jeff went down to the Stonewall. It's in the Village, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bar down the Village in the West Village.
On Christopher Street.
And there are people out there celebrating. It was in 1969 that probably the most important, well, at least certainly a first step in gay liberation happened there.
The sign above says, where pride began.
Where pride began.
Mm-hmm.
So we had talked before, Gina, about whether to get one of these Google Experience phones. They're now on sale. You won't get it till for a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, it said mine's not going to ship until like July 9th. So I've got some time to go, some time to wait. Yeah, we talked about it and you had said that you felt like the Google Edition didn't make sense because you miss out on the HTC software that makes some of the hardware run really well. Like the Zoe's, like the camera app. Right.
Beats
audio in fact, and that kind of thing.
Brian Klug did another one of his great posts on Anand Tech where he got both ahead of time, did a lot mm-hmm. of testing.
Yep.
And so you don't lose out on a lot of the HTC One camera features. OIS, for instance, the optical image stabilization still works. Mm-hmm. And so because it's a HTC One kernel, he said, and the same thing with the Galaxy S4, it's a Samsung kernel, a lot of the hardware is still supported. It's just a UI thing. And you don't get, what you don't get is the Zoes, the highlights, the gallery.
Right.
But you also don't get Sense, which is maybe a fair trade.
Nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, The Verge did a nice side-by-side as well. And, you know, and it seems like the differences are there, but they're very subtle.
You still get Beats audio, which is great.
Still get Beats audio. The camera is slightly better in the HTC. The battery life is slightly better for the stock edition. It seems like the differences are pretty subtle. For me, you know, I'm a developer. Getting updates direct from Google is a high priority for me because I always want to be kind of on the current version of Android, the current pure version of Android. And that's important to me because the Google experience is Google sort of a reference for where the software is going, you know, their best practices for what the software should be. So that's really important to me. And, you know, I feel like I know you made a really good case about the camera, and I thought long and hard about Zoes and highlights, but I think with the instant upload to Google Plus and the stuff that Google's doing on the Google Plus side with
you
photos, I don't feel like I'll miss it that much. Yeah.
Well, in fact, it doesn't work too well with the instant upload because it uploads way too many images to Google Plus. So it's kind of
right. Right. Killing stuff off all the time. Gina, why the HTC versus the Samsung?
You know, I'm just going to be honest.
$50 cheaper.
It's just pretty.
It's purdy.
Better looking phone.
It's a lot purdier.
I just love it.
If you're running AOSP stock Android, I then it really is more the hardware is what you're going to go for.
But isn't there a battery problem with the HTC?
Well, it's not removable. That's the bad. There's two things you lose. You lose the SD card, which I think on Android is moot because Android really doesn't support putting much on that SD card.
Right.
And two, you lose a removable battery. I've had very good results with that Snapdragon battery monitor that I told you about last week.
Oh, yeah. GSAM? Is that?
No, it's from GSAM. You should put on there just so you can see what's going on. And then Qualcomm has a program called the Snapdragon Battery
Snapdragon
Guru. Put that on there because the Snapdragon Battery Guru watches your behavior for 3 days, and then it's turning off the thing that's a problem, which is background updates. So you can put that on an AOSP, no problem at all.
Right.
Neither one of these require root, although do you have root out of the box or on? Oh, you don't know yet.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know yet.
It's easy. It's unlocked, so you can, of course,
yeah, it's unlocked. It's
easily
all unlocked.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Google's selling the one for $50 less. It's $600. And it's 32 gigs, whereas you have to buy the 16-gig GS4. And I'll tell you, the GS4, even with an SD card, it's tough. Fortunately, the stock, the AOSP ROM on the GS4 is a lot smaller than Samsung's. So you have something like 12 gigabytes free.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 32 gigs, I think you're going to be happy you did that. In fact, I've filled up 32 gigs.
Oh, wow.
I have a 64, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I think you're going to like it. It's a beautiful phone.
It's going to be a big upgrade for me. I'm upgrading from the Galaxy Nexus, which I've cracked the screen.
Yes, time.
Yeah, so it's really time. I mean, I generally don't buy phones unless I need a new phone. I don't buy every single new phone, and I just love the one since I saw, and then when they announced Google Edition, I was like must have. Right. I feel like both the S4 and the One are good choices.
It's very. I go back and forth. I cannot pick. I think arguably the believe it or not, the Galaxy S4 camera is better. Even, mm-hmm. You know, the 13 megapixels, it's nice. It's a good camera.
Yeah.
And 4 megapixels, you know.
Does that more data per image and thus more of a problem with the memory of the phone?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I guess it would be bigger images, yeah. That's one thing you can't save on an SD card. Although, you can't on the Google Experience phone, apparently, according to Brian Klug. The stock camera doesn't know about SD cards, can't save SD cards. So that's a drag.
Oh, ooh.
I think you made the right choice, to be honest with you.
I'm waiting to hear what are the odds. So I have to hold. I still have a Note 2 that I've got to sell that I've never used. I bought it on eBay, and I'm not using it, so I can sell it as unused. And I messed up the auction once, so I've got to sell that.
Yeah.
And then, because I do get lust. These things. Though I love my Nexus 4 and it's still working dandy, but I'm one of the odds we're going to see a Motorola Google phone.
We are going to see a Motorola Google phone, and I think we're going to see it in a month.
Yeah, I had to really like kind of let go of that. You know, because you could sit around and say there's a great new phone right on the horizon forever, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's going to hurt a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. I get, by the way, much better battery life on the HTC One than I get on the Galaxy S4. I don't worry about it on the Galaxy S4 because I have four batteries. So I'm going on a flight tonight to Denver. I'm bringing all four batteries. I don't care. I'll go through them like hotcakes. I don't care because I got more. Whereas this, you know, it's pretty good, but if it suddenly dwindled, I would worry on the HTC.
Of course, I carry the extra batteries in my bag.
Right. Yes, which saved my bacon at Google I/O. I was using
Mars nice right.
backup power.
But you could, can't. Oh, I see what you're saying. You get the ones that the charger.
Yeah.
Plug it in. Yeah, yeah. You can always do that. Yeah.
I just backed a Kickstarter project, which is a charging brick, which is also a backup thing. So, like the brick, you plug it in, it charges your phone, but it also charges itself, and then can do a couple of charges. So I'm hoping that'll be good. Because you know, as much on one hand, I really want the updates, I want kind of the pure developer experience. On the other hand, I kind of want to act like a regular human, and I don't want to have to root and deal with ROMs and you know constantly wipe. And I just want the updates to come direct from Google, and I also just want to experience. You know, what's it like to just use the phone like a regular person and see, see how I do with the battery. But I'm hoping with that, it's FlexMob. I forget what it's called. Oh, it's the Bolt Charger. That's a good idea. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm hoping that's going to, hopefully I'll actually get it and it'll work. I know. It's always a gamble.
I compromise. This is an AT&T HTC One. I did unlock it through official channels at htcdev.com. And then I rooted it, which wasn't so hard once you've unlocked the bootloader. And then I put Trick Droid. There are a number of their HTC Sense ROMs. They're not AOSP, but it's 422. They add some customization, which I kind of like. But it has the 4-point stuff as well, 4.2 stuff as well. And HTC says they will offer the AOSP ROM. For people with unlocked, now you have to have an unlocked, factory unlocked HTC One, which I don't because I have the AT&T version. But a lot of people will have that choice. And the HTC solution is dual boot, so you can go back and forth.
Interesting.
Not to make you unhappy.
Yeah. Great, Leo. Let me see if I can cancel my order.
No. I think you did the right thing. You should stick with it, especially as a developer. But I love the idea that I could put any ROM on here now, and I could put things like titanium backup and stuff. Why do you think? Here's a question for you. You know, Google has traditionally always had one Nexus phone, the developer phone. The Nexus 4 was the last one. Now they're going to have at least three. They're going to have the Motorola X, the HTC One, the Galaxy S4. What is the thinking here?
I think there's a difference between the Nexus and the Google Play Edition. You know, like if you notice, even in the Play Store, the Nexus is on top, right? So the Nexus 4, the Nexus 7, the Nexus 10. And then there's a new section that's like, hey, Google Play Edition. Unlock the latest and greatest from Google, the best smartphone for you. So they're basically saying, hey, these smartphones, you want choice in phones? Here they are. You can unlock the latest and greatest from Google. That's a good marketing.
What's their market? Google Edition phones the same people who buy Nexus phones?
Yeah. I would say
now
so.
Now they have three manufacturers. I think it's partly political.
Give everybody a shot at it.
Manufacturers who all have official Google phones, and nobody's Motorola's going to be the fourth soon enough.
That's a good point. And the Moto X is not going to be a Nexus.
I don't know.
The argument was
that Google wants to offer one Google Experience phone. So that they could just say, here it is, the pure thing for developers like Gina. That's why the Nexus 4 was $300, I think. But also so they could say to the manufacturers, here's what it could look like if you didn't crap it up.
Right.
Yeah. Brian, in his review on Anontech, says, and I think he's probably right, that the manufacturers say, well, no, we're making it more appealing for consumers. Things, like all those Samsung apps. That's what they're selling. That's what differentiates them.
I still say that what they should do is just give us choice. They should take some of those apps and make them
removable.
You can download or only download on that phone.
Yeah.
or uninstall them.
Yeah.
Right. Either way.
If you want. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the Nexus, remember the Nexus Experience 2 is a hardware spec as well. Like the HTC One's buttons are not.
Yeah, I don't like
the true Nexus.
I don't like that. I actually love the Galaxy S4 with a physical home button, a menu button that's always in the same spot, a back button that's always in the same spot. I like that.
Right, right. But that's not, you know, that's not Google's, you know, ideal vision, right?
I think they're wrong, though, so I'm glad there's choice on that one.
Yeah, yeah. There's, it's good.
The other lusting I've been having is I love my Nexus 7, and I keep going in and looking at the Note 8. Same size as a small iPad, and it's just too, it's that inch is too big for the hand.
Well, there are going to be a number of 6-inch phones. There's the Xperia that Sony just announced, which I'm very intrigued by. What's that? 6.4 inches, right? It's huge. And then the rumor is that there's going to be an HTC One in a 6-inch form factor.
Right.
Oh, right. The One Mini or something?
That would be very attractive. I don't know.
It's just a good looking phone. I totally just got seduced by it.
It's gorgeous.
I just love the way it's
And you'll love the front speakers. That's how speakers should be. I don't know why everybody doesn't do that immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish it had a little higher resolution camera, to be honest, but it's okay. It's pretty good. Yeah. You'll be happy with it. You got glass, you don't need that.
Yeah.
All right, issue number two. Should Jeff buy glass? You have till tonight to decide.
I got the invitation. No, I decided to wait for the show to make this decision.
Uh-huh.
And share my neuroses.
Should we have a poll?
We could. So here's the issue.
Do you agree to be bound by the poll?
No, I don't. I'm bound by nothing.
Okay.
The issue is that, of course, it doesn't work with apps. That means that on one of the issues. So that means that only my only Gmail thing is my Google Plus, because that's where it was grandfathered, of course, right? So everything else for me is apps, which means that I'll get no value out of Google Now. I'll get no value out of my calendar. I'll get no value out of my real email. I'll get no value out of my contacts. None of that will be accessible to me on glass. And that becomes fairly killer. Also, I have to wear glass on glass, so I look dorky enough already. Mm-hmm. And it's $1,500, which even though I'll get the school to buy it, and it's good for people to play with and all that, I'm just having third thoughts on this. What do you think? But then again, the other hand, I'm on this show. I do what I do. For God's sakes, Jarvis, you should know what glass does. You should be playing with it. You should be thinking what news can be with it. You could do all kinds of things with it. What do you think?
Strawpoll.me/136687.
Strawpoll. Oh, I thought we were just going to do like a poll.
Well, we can do a poll. I know, you know. Yeah, we'll just see what happens.
Let's say the chat room.
Strawpoll.
I think that the glass on glass issue is a bigger issue than the apps problem. Because I'm like you. I split my stuff across two Google accounts. One is an apps account, one is a Gmail account. But I have to tell you, the things that I use glass for primarily, which is taking pictures, taking video, uploading those things to Google Plus, which is my Janelle Gmail account, those things all work. The Google Now stuff works. You can get navigation, you can get the weather, you can get new now alerts even just with your vanilla Gmail account. The contacts thing is connected to your Google Plus. So if you're maintaining your Google Plus circles, you're gonna be fine. You can do Hangouts from Glass using your Gmail or vanilla Gmail account because it's all via Plus. It's a bummer to not get your email. I have to say, I don't get my email. But honestly, I don't know that I want to read my email on
it's
Glass.
It's more the Google Now stuff that I want. I mean, don't you want those kinds of updates? But of course, Google Now doesn't work terribly well for me anyway.
Yeah. But you know, like directions and weather and all that stuff, that all works even with your vanilla Gmail account. I use Google Voice. The one thing, I mean, text messages will work, right? Regardless, because your Bluetooth, you're connected to your phone, so that's going to work. Oh, and that's okay, what you're going to want. You're going to want SMS more than you're going to want email, because it's one of those notification things. So I don't know that the apps thing, I don't feel like it's really degraded my experience that much. I mean, for you, I think that the taking pictures and taking videos and sharing direct to Google Plus is going to be one of the kind of the key features beyond navigation. Navigation's a big one. And that stuff all works. with you know, with your regular, with your vanilla Gmail account. And they're going to support apps eventually. You know how it is. I don't know what the exact reason is, but there's some sort of terms of service privacy issues that are bound up by stricter guidelines with the apps accounts than they are with Gmail accounts. But it'll work eventually. The glass on glass thing, that's going to be, you might want to go and just try them on. I mean, the good news, you can buy them. If you don't like them, you return them. You get like 30 days.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, then do it.
It's a return period.
Oh, then do it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
because you know what? In 30 days, you'll send it back. You don't need it. I mean, come on. Have you exceeded your 30 days yet, Gina?
I think I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I do believe that I have.
So you didn't consider? I guess because you have a baby, you didn't consider.
Yeah, no. I'm not wearing glass every single day, but it is kind of. Jason and I were talking about this last night on All About Android. It is kind of a weekend thing. Like, oh, I'm going out and about, and I'm going to take some pictures. And yeah, with the baby, I've been getting great video of the baby, feeding the baby, and just holding the baby that I wouldn't get otherwise. So it's worth it for me to hold on to it. And I'm also just kind of interested in the glassware sort of app market and how that's going to evolve. And so I enjoy trying new apps and things like that. Holding on to it for me is fine.
That makes sense.
There is a return period. There is a return period. So.
You understand, Jeff, you could get a brand new Pixel for that price. You'd have two then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are saying, where are their nose coming from? And by the way, it is about 2-1, yes, on our straw poll. But the nose come from the cost, I think. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
I would
for the next edition.
Right.
Northwestern professor Owen Youngman went and got them, and he wore them at graduation and all kinds of stuff. And he's doing a course about Google. So he's talked to me, and so he kind of needed to have it, and he rubbed it in that he got a week before I did. That's the main thing is Journo Jeff, should I have it?
I think Journo Jeff should have them. At least try them. And then return them if you don't like.
I mean, you wrote a book, you know, about Google. I think you should have them. Just... because that's part of the ongoing conversation about Google.
And I have to tell you, the customer service is great. I've had my glass person call and to ask, you know, how are things going?
Yeah, I raised this question on Twitter, and somebody from Glass came on Twitter and said, can we talk? So that was impressive. That's rare.
Yeah, the customer service is very good.
I got the worst of both worlds. I spent the money and didn't get glass.
Because you're a nice guy.
But Jason is getting some amazing photos of his daughter.
Worst of both worlds.
speaking of the Pixel and speaking of apps, I'm just going to jump ahead to one story. They released this new app so that you can, on the Pixel only, so that you can just put a photo card in and it will upload everything directly to Plus. Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Sign into your browser, it says. Okay, my machine is all set up with, of course, my apps account, and it will not let me use the account that is tied to Plus.
Hey, really, you ranted about this on Google Plus, and I agree with you. This is ridiculous now. At this point, it's ridiculous.
It really is. It really, truly is. And I know that somebody said, I'm going to unfollow you because you rant about this. Fine, I'm going to rant anyway.
I don't understand it. It can't possibly be that difficult.
No, they're treating the paying customers as second-class citizens in apps.
Has anybody given you a credible reason why they haven't merged apps?
At I.O., they said two things. They always say it's more complicated than you know.
Right.
Though I would love to sit down at the whiteboard and figure that out with them. And because, hey, you're Google. You go to the friggin' moon. And
right, we can figure out the privacy policy.
Yeah, they said, but it's a lot better than it used to be. And when I was with a bunch of media people and bloggers with them, we all said to them, no, it's not. No, it's not better than it used to be. It's not. It's still a problem. We all beat them up about all the things we lose. And I say to Google, you think I'm two people. You want to know that I'm one person. That'll give me better service as a customer, right. But it also gives you a hell of a lot more value because you can't target to me as one person. You want to know I'm one person. All you want me to do is to say this person is the same as this person and let me merge some things. I understand in some cases something has to win. You probably have to have one calendar. You probably have to have one male being the dominant male. I'm okay with that. But let me choose what works with what and let me merge those identities, and it's good for you, Google. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's true.
Sorry about that. End of rant.
Jeff, I had a Pixel moment that I thought you'd appreciate. I hadn't really played with the Pixel very much since Google I.O., not for any other reason. I'd just been busy in habit of using my MacBook Pro. But my wife wanted to start using Evernote and can't install stuff on a work computer. So I was like, oh, why don't we'll just give you the Pixel? So I pull out the Pixel, and I'm like, hey, here, sign in. And so I was getting her set up, and I was like, wow, this is a really nice machine. Yeah. I started playing with it, and I was like, she's like, so are you going to give me so I can have that computer? And I was kind of like, this is really nice.
It's not so bad, is it?
And she was like, I can't believe it. You're not going to give it to me. I was like, well, you know, we'll share it. We'll share it. We'll just keep it here in the living room.
The keyboard is butter. The screen is magnificent. I still love it.
It's beautiful. It's a great machine. And I was like, oh, the Konami code. And she's like, the what? And I made the light bar go, and it was very impressive. But yeah, I had this moment where I was like, this is a really nice computer. I have to figure out how to work this into my routine.
And it helps too that, well, actually two things. One, Leo, I had something going on where some sites actually are sluggish scrolling now. I thought, okay, all right, I'll admit it. There's something in the latest build. But then I had an issue where I was doing partial screen grabs, yeah. And suddenly it was like 20 pixels off, and I couldn't figure it out. And I went on to the Chromebook Pixel user group, and I said the same thing. And I also CC'd Rick Byers, who's a wonderful Pixel guy out of Canada. And bingo, you know, we get the answer from them that I had redone the screen size down, and I confused the placements. And in build 29, it's fixed. But he explained what to do. And so it's also because people will watch what I say because I'm on the show, but I can get service on the machine in a way that, you know, beats Dell.
How many blog posts did it take before Dell responded?
But Dell's gotten better. Dell's gotten better, so I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, the Pixel's quite nice. It's just not a practical product for any normal human, but it's a lovely little machine.
But if you're a freak like me,
well, it's just, it's a, it's, I mean, it's so expensive. I wish they would make a kind of more moderate choice Chromebook.
Yeah, there's some controversy because I think the $550 one, the Samsung one, I think is going off the market. And so you only have high end and low end. You don't have middle.
Yeah, they need something in the middle.
They need a middle end, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They also need, I think what will happen next is they get the new power efficient chips.
What do you, did we talk about the LA school district buying?
Yeah,
iPads?
We
yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
right. People... Yeah, yeah, because there was this whole back. In fact, like tweet storm went on all around
exactly
that. That's right.
All around us.
I won't bring it up again then. I won't bring it up again.
The funny thing is that out there, the kids get very upset when we get mad at each other.
Yeah, the kids. I could tell you the kids in the LA public schools would rather have iPads than Chromebooks.
Oh, I know that.
The teachers might want them to have Chromebooks. I don't know.
It's kind of great when I see on there's a Chromebook education group on Google Plus, and they all get their shipments in, and you see a picture of a thousand Samsung Pixels stacked up. I mean, Samsung Chromebooks stacked up, and it's really kind of cool.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Oh, here's another picture from the Stonewall. Look at that. Jeff, you put
a
bunch
of... Cool.
Very nice.
Just think of how great these would be if they were through glass.
Yeah, think about that.
Well, I was thinking about that just now. Yeah, I shot with both my phone and my camera. I'm having the weirdest thing. If I take pictures with my camera, with my Nexus 4, on either cell or on, you know, Starbucks shared kind of Wi-Fi, it will not send the tweets in.
Really?
I guess the pictures are just too big. When I got home, I can send them in.
And then it uploads them.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the. They may even be blocking it. I have to say that is one of the things. To me, Google Plus has finally gone over the top with the camera uploads. That's fabulous. Communities.
I saw your post. Saw your post, Leo.
Deleting Facebook. I really want to delete Facebook. I've taken it off my phones because it is also a battery drain.
Yeah.
And that's one good thing. You won't be stuck with Facebook if you don't want it on your HTC GE1.
And boy, the Facebook home thing that we thought was going to be a big deal.
What a flopola that was. Kids don't even like Facebook anymore. You know that, right?
It's Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Instagram is Facebook, though.
Well, yeah. I think they still like Vine better. It's hard to know what to do those extra 9 seconds. You saw Jimmy Fallon. They had a great bit where... They would do a classic Vine video, But they do it on Instagram, and then they have like 9 seconds, and they just kind of stand around. I don't know what to do.
That's so hip.
It's so hip. Fallon's hip. Our show today brought to you by 99designs. It's too late for an old fart like me, but it's a hip show. 99designs.com. That's why I watch him on Hulu Plus. A great place to get your designs done. Somebody, you know, there is, and I understand this, there's a movement among graphic designers. Some people say you shouldn't do specs. But and I think if you're a big hotshot, you don't need to. But it's like telling an actor, you shouldn't have to audition. You know what? Welcome to the real world. And that's why 232,000 designers, sorry, new figure, the tote board's turned, 234,071 designers are waiting for you to put your design requests up on 99designs. They submit their suggestions. You work back and forth till you find a designer you like, then you hire them. And at a great price. Great designers, great designs. This is how we got our really cool T-shirts. And we're going to do, I can't wait till we start the new project on 99designs. When do we start that, Lisa? Is that soon? The new project on, you know, the new project on 99designs. We're researching developers. Okay. Lisa, Gina probably can help us on that. You know, she writes software, you know. Well, she could help us find it. We need a iOS and Android developer, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk.
For gaming.
We'll talk about
fun. We need some gaming developers. But we know we got the design from 99designs. If you go to 99designs.com, you can get a special package. I'll tell you why I like 99designs. Besides the price being right, you really get to see some different ideas for a variety of styles. And so you really, we had so much fun doing our T-shirt on 99designs. That only cost $199. Mobile app design, the most expensive thing there, $599. Print marketing collateral, brochures, flyers, menus, labels, greeting cards. Product packaging starts at $199. Landing pages, Facebook cover design, banner ads, infographics start at $199. Logo design starts at $299. Look at all these great designs we got. Look at these. I love them. 99designs.com/twig. You'll be getting a $99 power pack of services for free, giving you more designer time and attention. 99designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in their design marketplace. That way you get twice as many submissions. You can also call them direct. We have a special number for Twig listeners. That's 800-513-1678. 800-513-1678. Or go to 99designs.com/twig. 99designs is making the world a more beautiful place, one design at a time. 99designs.com/twig, and we're so glad to be working with them. And we're gonna do a twit kind of thing, game kind of thing. Not a twit player app. There's great ones. We don't need to do anything there. We thought we'd do a game.
Yeah, that would be a very Twitter thing to do. To screw the developers and do your own. You're not.
Doing. No, exactly. We like our third-party developers. They're Craig and the gang, they do great stuff. But we thought, you know, we're so hooked on the Simpsons game. We thought we should have a game for Twit. And you could be in it, and you, and you, and you, and you.
I love it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Totally fun. I'm very excited about this project.
I like it. I love the idea. Let's get the latest straw poll results. Jeff, 60-40, buy the glasses.
Okay, people, I figure how many votes is that? That's about $100 each, and I got it. that will just shift this over to Indiegogo, and we're there.
All right, Lisa's just come over and made a suggestion. Would it change your mind, Jeff, if we offered to buy them for you?
Oh, no, you don't need to do that. Thank you very, very much, but I can do that. No, thank you.
We're glad to. It's kind of part of, we didn't buy them for Gina, though. We'd have to give her a check,
no,
too.
No, exactly.
We have
she says
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
In June,
of
Happy
all things.
Pride to me.
I think the thing that put me over is that you have 30 days to change your mind.
Yeah.
That way you can play with it. You can have
a
great time.
That's a very Leo way to look at things.
Yeah.
That's as long as you use anything.
30 days is a lifetime. If I could send every gadget back after 30 days, I wouldn't buy anything.
Well, Jeff, just verify that.
Here's a business I want. I want the business that, and I think we might have talked about this a couple years ago. I even tried to suggest it to Best Buy, where it's the early adopters club, where you can get something as soon as it comes out and use it for like a month, and you pay a portion of the value based on, you know, how much it loses as it goes on. Or you can decide, no, I don't want to be first. I want to be third. I want to just try it. You know, like the Note 2, I didn't care about being first, but eventually I want to play with one for a while. And I'm, and it's kind of a rental club based on when you get it in the sequence.
I think people do that.
Yeah.
I think there are companies that do that. There are a lot of companies that will buy their stuff back from you. Who does that? That sounds familiar. Where, you know, I mean, that's a great idea. Yeah. Best Buy should do that.
They should.
But who, yeah, there has to be a brisk market in used devices.
There does, but I think there is. I mean, if you look at eBay amazes me.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I sold, I cleaned out some stuff.
Too.
Well, that's how Gazelle works, too. By the way. Gazelle has an eBay portal.
Right, but Gazelle will only buy certain of the hottest things. I had some like old Nokia phones. And I thought there's no market for this thing. And sure enough, you know, I'd sell them for $80 or something like that on eBay.
Well, that is the argument against glass, by the way, is that it's non-transferable.
Yes.
So you can't in 3 months say, yeah, okay, I'm done with it. I've reviewed it. Who'd
well,
like
actually,
to
let me
this?
Ask you about that. What does it mean to be non-transferable in terms of me having, you know, students or colleagues being able to use them at school?
Well, that's anybody
no,
can
that's
use it.
That's the thing. That's a, that would be the problem. So you're, when you go pick up your glass or when you purchase it, your account gets whitelisted. And from what I understand, that's it. Your account is a link to Glass. So a lot of the Glass administration that you do in the web browser on your desktop, like logged into your Google account. There's a guest mode on Glass. You so you can set it in a guest mode if you want to let other people try it, you know, without getting your, you know, text messages or seeing personal information. But it's a kind of a limited thing. You know, you can't, someone else can't attach their Google account. So this is, you know, another journal friend of mine was like, was having this problem, you know, the publication wanted him to, you know, drop it off at the office and let everybody try it. And it was like, no, you get whitelisted. Your account gets whitelisted and it's very heavily linked to your account, all your contacts and your circles
but
and things.
Can't you give Glass away? Didn't they say you could give it away? Is there a way to transfer it out of your account?
It's a good question. We had talked about this at one point. I thought there was a way to gift it.
I think they said you could gift it.
So you never registered, Leo. That's
oh, you could gift
yours.
It, but only before, but it has to be right away. Couldn't be after.
Once you've hooked it to an account.
What? I don't know.
Is that, well, how did you do it?
It wasn't mine. It was Jason's from day one.
Anyway.
In fact, they wouldn't even let me pay for it with my credit card. We had to reimburse them.
That's right. I feel the need for trumpets.
one more thing somebody suggested I think is a great idea that we do one show we do it as a normal show but we post a hangout of from Glass's point of view. So when you get your glass, Jeff, you two wear yours, I'll borrow Jason's and we'll do a hangout with the three points of view. Can we do that, right?
Yeah, we could totally do that. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you're just going to see the other side of the studio, and you're going to, for me, you're going to be looking out my window and at my screen. You know,
fine. I mean, we won't replace the, we'll do the show as normal, but it'll be an extra feed.
Right now.
Let's see here.
See what Jeff
sees. I don't know if you can see it. I have a cicada being eaten by a spider out here.
That's drama. That's good. That's good TV.
Well, here's a funny, someone I know is going to run for mayor of a certain major city in America, and it'll be come out soon. And we, I was talking with him today. He's a tech guy. And so I was saying, well, at some point, I was pushing him to make videos. People need to know who you are. They need to hear from you. But I also talked about maybe you ought to, you know, make some with Glass. And at first it's appealing, but then immediately a politician doesn't want to have a picture of himself with Glass.
Oh, yeah. Good
like
point.
You're the robo candidate. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. Yeah. I wouldn't vote for a guy wearing that stuff.
The cyborg.
Something wrong with him.
He's watching you.
Right.
Now I'm thinking about who this could be. I think I know who it must be, but I don't know. That's interesting. We'll find out when.
I've been researching the glass question, and under the terms of
Young
sale,
Chad says
you have resale and gifts. You may not commercially resell your device, but you may give the device as a gift unless otherwise set forth by the device specific addendum. Receipts of gifts may need to open and maintain a Google Wallet account in order to receive support from Google. These terms will also apply to any gift receipt, and this is under the Glass.
Has anybody ever done that? I wonder how hard that is to do.
Yeah, and I wonder if the Explorer Edition has an addendum because it's such an early prototype. I should probably know that. I should look through my glass materials. But this is all stuff that you can ask. I mean, you have to call to buy it. And
all right,
I'll
sign up tonight then. I'll do it.
Yay, we made the decision for him.
I probably won't be able to pick him up before my next trip, I don't think. So
he's going to get him. But Lisa was sincere. We'll pay for your guy's glass.
I appreciate that. No.
Because it is kind of part of your job. I mean, it's part of the show.
I'll have you get a Moto X for me.
It's a deal.
Can we just start requesting
it's a
devices?
Deal. I'll ask Guy when I see him.
So when are you doing that?
July 10th.
July 10th.
Okay. I haven't been enjoying. I mean, Guy didn't say, hey, keep this under your hat or anything.
Yeah.
Wait, what? What's this?
So Guy Kawasaki, who, as you know, is now working at Motorola, sent me an email, said we'd really like you to come down to the Google campus for an event. Small group of journalists, 50 people, and July, there's two groups, July 10th and July 11th. Can you do it? Oh. And I said, well, I have to move stuff around. He said, we'd really like you to do it. I said, okay. I'm thinking it's the phone, but I don't know. Could just be, you know, a meet and greet. I mean, it could be just some silly thing.
Could be.
But Guy knows me. Guy knows I do not do these things at all. So
the 10th is actually Twig Day. That's a Wednesday. Are you going the 10th or the
11th?
It's
the evening of the 10th.
Oh, it's the evening of the 10th. Oh, so it'll be right after the show. Dang.
Yeah, I'll run out of here.
Ooh. Oh.
I think I'm skipping a triangulation that day or something like that. Yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's a pre-recorded show. Yeah. So I'll just run out the door. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. And I hope I'm not breaching a confidence, but Guy didn't say, hey, keep this under your hat or anything. So I don't think I am.
You'll find
all right.
out.
Time to play some trumpets. Chad, are you ready with the trumpeters? Are they all in a line? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Well, I'll let your announcer tell you.
The Google Changelog.
What's new at Google? Let's ask Gina Trapani.
The new Google Groups interface revamp is available to everyone. They've been testing this for quite some time. Google Groups, if you don't know, if you don't use it, it is one of their kind of undersung products, is kind of an email list product that lets you put together groups of contacts and have conversations. And it's got new revamped management features, moderation tools, a better mobile site. I'm really, really happy about this. I run several of my open source projects using Google Groups, and I've been testing the new interface for quite some time, and it's quite good. It's really good for support situations. So if you like users you have to support, you can they have this new inbox feature where you can say you can assign an email to another member of the group, like, hey, can you please respond to this, which is really nice for customer service type things. So that's available to all now. Let's see, what else? Oh, new Street View images from the world's tallest man-made structure, which is a skyscraper in Dubai.
Yes.
The Burj Khalifa. I hope I am pronouncing that
Burj
correctly.
Burj Khalifa, you are.
Yeah. First ever Street View collection of images from the Arab world, and this is this building is described as the vertical city, world's tallest man-made structure, towering over the Dubai skyline at 2,717 feet.
I'm not going in there. I'm not even going. I'm not looking at that.
It wasn't open when I was in Dubai. I really wanted to go up there, but it wasn't open yet.
Oh. I want to see some of these images. Yeah, very nice. So they sent up some Googlers with the old camera backpack and got some images. Man, that thing looks heavy.
It does. While you're there, if you go up in the rundown, just a little bit up, Leo, they're also, same thing, they're doing Galapagos Islands.
Oh, neat. That's a place that only a very few people can go. It's highly protected.
Right. The blue-footed booby.
There it is. No, that's not the blue-footed booby.
That's not the blue-footed booby. But yeah, apparently they put Googlers out outside the building.
Can you tell me when it's over?
Really? Does that scare you? She doesn't look like it's that heavy. She looks like she can carry that pretty well.
Yeah, she looks pretty comfortable.
Oh, that I don't want to do, though.
Yeah, so window cleaners usually only get this view, but now everybody can in Street View.
That's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, wow. Wow, look at that. Dubai is crazy. Yeah, this is the anti-Jeff. Jeff, couldn't even look at these Street View images? Would even just going into the
My
images in Google Maps
freak you out? Right now.
No, really?
Yeah.
You don't like heights?
I hate heights.
Oh, I thought it was bridges. It's heights.
It's vertigo things. It's the cliff effect.
Yeah.
things you could fall off of.
Yeah.
Plain okay.
Plain okay. That's good. What else we got? Oh, Google dropped a search operator, which I'm sure you have never used, the tilde. I don't know if you knew you could do this, but you could use a tilde. You could use a tilde to get synonyms, right? So you could do like tilde muffin, and it would be like cupcake and other related terms for synonyms.
Apparently, well, that no sounds very it. Useful.
Yeah,
now that I know it existed. I want to use it.
You know, it was really useful, and I knew about it. I didn't use it very much because when I have to look up a word, I usually just go to the dictionary. There's not often that I'm looking for
synonyms. Well, it's the reason because Google will do that for you. It just automatically looks at synonyms.
I feel like if you do a Google search, you will get pages that have similar terms, related terms. Mm-hmm. And that just makes more sense. You shouldn't really expect users to remember to use the tilde. But yeah, Google confirmed that this was dropped. The feature was dropped due to lack of use. That's a little spring cleaning. And I really liked that Google actually gave a statement to, this is Search Engine Land, saying, yeah, we've deprecated this. Too few people were using it to make it worth it to maintain. And I happen to agree with this one. Maintaining all these synonyms takes real time and costs us real money. And supporting the operator increases the complexity of the code, dropping support, free up a bunch of resources. I love that they were just so kind of forthright and transparent about this. I wish that they had given more of an explanation about Google Reader, as clear and straightforward an explanation about Google Reader as they did about the tilde. Of course, the tilde, a lot less controversial than Google Reader.
Did they say that the synonyms had to be done by hand, by humans?
They didn't. They just said that there's a lot of code that made synonyms go. Yeah. Synonyms go. They didn't say that humans did it, but it does sound like it cost them money and CPU cycles to maintain. One of the more difficult computational tasks, I would think, synonyms.
I guess so.
Google Now for Android got an update with a couple of new features. If your phone is on the same network as your smart TV, you can get information on live TV that's on. I haven't had a chance to try this out.
It knows what you're watching because the TV reports to it.
Right, exactly.
That's
knows
so
what you're
weird.
Watching, so it'll give you information about what's on TV. It's a nice second screen prompt. There's third-party music client support now. So there's a Google Voice action where you can say something like, play Michael Jackson. And now, with this new update, you can choose what app plays the music back. So
well,
I
you could do that before.
Could you? I thought that it just supported play
could.
Music. But now you can just choose what client you want to play. And my choice is, I don't have a lot of music players on my phone installed, but it gave me the choice of Play Music, Google Play, YouTube, or Pandora. Just kind of nice. Nice to have the choice.
So I said, play Michael Jackson.
If you could move it down. Just
and it's...
And it said, are you sure?
Are you really? No music found.
Oh, have you gotten the...
I must have assigned it. I should see if I have a default action on that.
Yeah, you might have assigned it a default action. I'm really digging the voice action. I actually just... there's the note to self voice action, which goes to Google Keep. And
Here it is. There's a drop down that you can choose.
Yeah, there's a drop down. Exactly.
I see.
Choose what client you want to use. So what choices do you... You have a big menu there.
Yeah, well, I had my built-in music player, and there is no Michael Jackson on the phone, but now I can make it play music. I could search SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify, or TuneIn Radio Pro, and presumably install other capable apps that would add those to the list. That's one of the best things about Android, frankly.
I totally agree. Yeah. We just added, for DigiText, we just added note to self capability, and it was like a few
awesome.
Lines of code.
That's
so
great.
If you say note to self, you know, pick up the milk, you can now say, hey, use DigiText to handle this in addition to Google Keep or something else. And it was incredible how easy. Someone sent me a pull request, one of my developers. It was like five lines of code. It was crazy. Great, great thing about Android.
Now, the funny thing is, it is playing something, but it's fan letters to Michael Jackson by a Canadian group called the Rheostatics.
That's related.
It's close. I guess it's because I own that. So it preferred that over something I don't own.
Why do you own that?
You know, with All Access and Play Music, right, in the Play Store... You really can have it just play anything if you're paying for that subscription.
Well, I used to do that with Spotify. You know, maybe that was the Samsung voice app, not the Google voice app. But it would say, well, what do you want me to... The first time you say play Michael Jackson, you say, well, what do you want me to play it with? And it would remember that from then on.
Mm-hmm.
But that must have been the Samsung voice.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. Oh, and last thing in Google Now, this Google Now update, location-aware Google offers. So it begins.
Yeah. So now, how is that going to work?
Advertising begins. You know, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't been out and about with this updated version yet. So I'm not exactly sure how it's going to work. Although I've been getting prompts in Google Maps. Have you guys been getting this, you know, show offers or don't show offers?
No.
Yeah, I've been getting some prompts about Google offers. So this phone knows where you are. It seems like Google Now will pop up a card that says, hey, you know, there's a sale going on down the block. And so I kind of imagine that it will work. I'm looking for screenshots and I don't see
it. You know you need pants.
You know you need pants.
And there's a better deal to your left.
Right, exactly. Turn left. So that's all I got, the changelog.
And that's the Google changelog. Very cool. We mentioned the bell. Somebody in the chat room said, what about the bell? We mentioned the bell on Google Plus, the notification bell before. But
we did last week.
I think now that's everybody's right, got it by now, right?
Yep, yep. I did get it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when someone mentioned to me, and I think it was a show that I missed a show recently, Gmail, you can send money through Gmail now using Wallet.
Yes, we mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, it was back in May.
Yeah.
But I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, somebody in the chat room said, and this is really true, it's Google doesn't do a good job of surfacing it, all these cool things, but that's because there's so damn many of them.
There's so many of them. It's true.
I don't know
it's
how
true.
You would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do no, like the tilde.
Yeah, like the tilde. Exactly. Honestly, sometimes I drop stuff because some things seem super minor and some things aren't going to roll out for a while and some things only work if you're, you know, if you're like the Gmail, you have to have a wallet account, and maybe the person you're sending to has to have a wallet account. So, but though that sending money was a big thing. That's something I would definitely mention. So I think that was a show that I missed.
But I'm
glad you guys got my back. I don't have it either. I just checked I checked my Compose window. I hit that little plus button. I can use photos in Drive. I can insert photos, emoticons, insert invitation. But no, I don't have the money, the dollar sign yet.
Oh, so I guess it's rolling out slowly.
Yeah, it must be.
Oh.
Well, Leo, back to what you said earlier about Plus and photos. I finally took a camera along this time to Europe, and you know, I really use, more than I've ever in life, been using photos because it's so easy on Plus.
It finally put me over the top on Plus.
Yeah.
I use that all the time now, and it makes it so easy to share. It's great to have a backup of all your photos.
That's exactly.
And for me, because I use two different phones, I have one place where all my pictures are. So that's nice, too.
Gina, do you use a camera with a card?
I do, like an old school,
So the thing is, you can use that thing now on the Pixel. Another reason to use your Pixel. It will just upload every single photo in automatically. No muss, no fuss, no bother.
Yeah, I've got an SLR where I take, you know, I take portraits of the baby, you know, on her birthday and stuff. Yeah. And often the photos just sort of languish on the card until my mom is like, what's the latest photos? And I was like, oh, I gotta take out the card and upload them. But yeah, I'm gonna try those out, those new apps that just, so I have to make sure that my card fits into the slot in the Pixel, but it should totally work, which is really, really nice, because transferring into Picasa and then uploading, it's a whole thing.
It's a Megillah, as we say here in New York.
It's a Megillah. It's true.
I had no idea Jesus H. Christ had a Google Plus account.
Really?
I'll just reshare this one. Yeah, he's responding to Governor Mike Huckabee. Isn't that a pseudonym? Maybe it really is him, though. Is it verified?
WWGD.
This is so a terms of use violation, by the way.
Not going to complain.
Yeah, you just busted Jesus, Leo.
I got Jesus in trouble. You think I did?
Yeah.
Maybe that could be a guy's name. I got a gardener named Jesus. Could be a guy's name.
This is apparently very pro-gay Jesus. So
yeah, it's a pro-gay Jesus. Wouldn't he be? We don't know.
I like the tagline is setting the record straight.
Yeah, that account will be gone by tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, here's a question for you. It's all on the rundown. Google Mine. Do you think that's a parody? Do you think that's real?
Google what?
Mine. Google Mine. Third thing on the rundown.
M-I-N-E. It's right. Supposedly a new product that's in testing that lets you, and Jeff, tell me if I get this wrong, but that lets you inventory your stuff.
Like everything you have.
Oh, it's my stuff. Mine. Here. It's mine. All mine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It makes this does not make sense to me. This is
Share your belongings with your friends. Keep up to date with your friends are sharing.
It's the share economy, Jeff. Come on.
So is this like neighbor goods? So I need a lawnmower who's got one I can borrow?
Maybe.
It seems like it could enable something like that. This reminded me, of course, of the Big Bang Theory episode where Sheldon was scanning was putting RFID tags on every single piece of clothing and scanning them in and then creating a database of his entire wardrobe so that whenever he traveled, he could very easily just
What's
print
wrong
out.
With
have
that?
You seen that there is a Sheldon T-shirt site?
There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a very good idea. Kat, go ahead. Go back a little bit. Catalog your belongings. Track what you have. Review your belongings for your friends to see. Really, my friends do not want to see what my belongings are.
No.
Control who sees what, track conversations, send requests to borrow or try out friends' stuff. They killed Google Groups for this. Share stuff you wish for. Get recommendations. Share stuff you're giving away. Find takers. Follow, browse, search stuff. There's also an Android app, but you have to be a Google employee. It's in Bazaar.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it.
Mm.
Wow.
This sounds like a 20% project.
Yeah.
20% project that they're maybe testing internally. I don't know if this is ever going to see the light of day.
Okay, all right. I could not get it. I don't understand it.
If you had glass, you could take pictures of it.
Well, you could use it as an insurance inventory.
Yeah, but you don't have to share it with your friends for that purpose.
No. I mean, Google would love to know what you own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valuable information for them.
Well, here's a question.
There's something compelling about, there are times when I'm like, oh, do I know anybody that has this kind of, gadget? Or, I don't know, I needed to, a tool or something. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but I guess there's some value in that. Being like, can I borrow, I don't know, a hot glue gun from somebody?
Well, here's the problem for me. Let's see. The nearest person I actually know who I actually have an internet life with is probably about 30 miles away.
Mm. Right. Unless they enabled some sort of mailing stuff, sending stuff.
Find metric wrenches near you.
So either it's a preternaturally sunny day in the United States today, or Google has deleted the clouds from its satellite imagery. And in fact, it's the latter case. Another 20% project?
Google is God.
They buy the satellite imagery from Keyhole and, NASA and a lot of other people. Problem with satellite imagery is it's just doggone clouds.
There's something ironic about Google deleting the cloud.
From the cloud.
Exactly.
Ain't no clouds here.
But I'm ching.
Same thing on Google Maps. This is from a gizmo. I know. Is this true? Were there clouds before? I guess it's from the Google blog.
Cue the Joni Mitchell, please.
I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow.
Oh. It's love's illusions I recall.
This is completely official. There was a post on the Google blog.
Yeah, here's the central Papua Indonesia before and after. Saudi Arabia before. Well, Saudi Arabia really didn't really have a lot of clouds.
It's only clear skies in Googleville.
Yeah. Satellite imagery is usually created like a quilt, writes the Google blog. We stitch together imagery of different parts of the world using a process similar to how we produced the global time-lapse imagery of Earth. We took hundreds of terabytes of data from the U.S. Geological Survey and NASA's Landsat 7 satellite, sometimes dozens of photos of a single spot, analyzed the photos to compute a clear view of every place, even in tropical regions that are always at least partly cloudy. You are now looking at an 800,000 megapixel image of the world. Earth or maps when you're zoomed out to the global world. The image is global view. The image is, that's it.
It does kind of look naked.
Yeah, it's weird looking.
Yeah.
The image is so big, if you wanted to print it at a standard resolution of 300 dots per inch, you'd need the piece of paper the size of a city block. Wow.
That's cool. Somebody's got to do that. Some artist has to do that.
By hand, you think? Or no, they say computationally. They did it. They did it. The computer says, no, I still see clouds. What else you got? Oh, there's clouds there. What else you got? I think that's cool. Only Google can do that.
Yeah, I mean, an artist should do the city block printout.
Oh, the city block printout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Christo could wrap an actual city block.
Yes.
It'd be great.
And there'd be orange gates all around it.
Yeah. Come on. Is this true? Google buying Tesla?
No, it's rank speculation.
Oh, it's from Bloomberg. People speculating.
Somebody guessing, but I stuck it on there because I thought it was amazing.
I don't think Tesla's for sale.
No. It's too but it would cost them $12 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, even for Google.
Yeah, I don't think Elon Musk is looking to sell it.
I think Steve Jobs might have bought Tesla.
That I could understand.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, Apple Cars. That
would have been.
Seems like his right up his alley. We feel that cars are just too hard to use, so we're putting the accelerator on the left.
Yes.
And there's only one button. Brake, accelerator, it's all the same.
So yesterday, you're now going to, if you want to go right, you wave your hand right. If you want to go left, you wave your hand left.
Oh, God. Thank God Apple doesn't design cars.
Only rounded corners.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's see what else before we go to our picks of the week here.
I've got a question for you on the NSA story.
Yes.
Because I wrote a piece that I haven't put up yet, but arguing that the internet companies should take the bull by the horns now and have to do everything they can to protect our privacy. And it's in their enlightened self-interest because people are going to lose faith in the cloud
and in U.S.
internet companies. And so what do they do? Well, you know, we ought to have, as we've discussed before, the right to private communication guaranteed by law. But, of course, only our first-class physical mail is guaranteed in that way. It's not going to come from Congress. It's not going to come from courts. It's not going to come from telcos. So Google and Facebook and Twitter and those folks have to protect us. So here's the question. What would it take to have end-to-end encryption? If the industry got together and got their act together, A, does that help? B, how hard is that? And C, what are the unintended consequences of that? Like, does that break Google now because it can't see my boarding passes?
It does, doesn't it? If it could see your boarding passes, then we wouldn't trust it. Because that would mean Google could see it, which means they could probably give it to the government. So that really, I think it would break a lot of things, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wait, why would Google being able to see your boarding pass is a function of their products being able to talk to one another because of their...
Well, they can read your mail.
They can read your mail. If my mail were encrypted.
But if I encrypted all my email, they wouldn't have boarding passes for me.
I see what you're saying. So you're not saying encrypting the transmission. You're saying, encrypting the data.
We'd have to encrypt it in such a way that only you had the key. Because if Google has the key, well...
That is not...
We've heard that story before.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen, Jeff. But of course, as we know, if you use encryption, the NSA just says, we don't care if you're in the U.S. or not. We're keeping an eye on you.
Right.
And if you use the Onion router, the privacy Tor privacy system, same thing. We don't know if you're in the U.S., so we're just going to collect everything you do.
Right.
And I use both. So...
watching you.
Vince Cerf was in London along with Tim Berners-Lee, Bob Kahn, and Louis Pouzin to receive the $1 million inaugural Queen Elizabeth Prize for Engineering at Buckingham Palace. There's Tim Berners-Lee getting his ugly award. Well, it is
a little weird looking, huh?
What is that? It's the Queen Elizabeth Prize. They asked Tim Berners-Lee about Edward Snowden and the NSA. Tim said the original design of the web 24 years ago was for a universal space. We didn't have a particular computer in mind or browser or language. When you make something universal, it can be used for good things or nasty things. We just have to make sure it's not undercut by any large companies or governments trying to use it and get total control. Right on.
Right on.
Well said.
Protect the internet.
Right on. He's the guy who invented the World Wide Web.
Android Nation Store. I want one of those.
What is that? You can buy a nation in Android? What?
In India, they're starting stores just to pump Android.
Oh. Like physical stores?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brick and mortar stores
called Android Nation.
I want that.
Apparently, Google's also subsidizing cell phones.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Facebook does this too, right? They subsidize the usage of primary Google apps, so you can get that for free.
Well, that's kind of the opposite of net neutrality. In fact, we got all mad at Comcast and other internet service providers who proposed not having bandwidth caps on some of their own products.
Oh, well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Wasn't it really?
Was it Verizon? No, I think it was Verizon or somebody said, "Oh yeah, we're not going to." If you use, what was it? I'm trying to remember now.
Yeah, you're right. If you bought stuff through like their vStore,
they wouldn't charge you.
It wouldn't go to your bandwidth cap.
Right. And everybody got upset anti-competitive. That was anti-net neutrality.
Well, but Leo, it's no different from I can watch a show on Netflix and pay for it, or I can watch it on Hulu and suffer a few ads and I get it for free.
Right.
So it's subsidized in that sense.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's bad.
I'm just bringing it up. I don't know either. It seems fine. I mean, if they want to, you know, give some free stuff away in India, go for it. Yeah. Who am I to say no?
I want to see what these stores are going to look like.
I want an Android Nation store here.
Yeah. Starting in New Delhi later this year.
Sorry.
It's Best Buy, right? Is the closest Best Buy is
really turning into a marketing space.
Yeah, because you have a Samsung store, you have a Windows,
a huge Samsung
store.
Apple,
yeah,
Microsoft, and little Google stand. You know, and they're just turning their space over to marketing space.
So until they go bankrupt. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's just one more idea.
Well, you know, when I was in Paris last week. For one day, it really struck me. I wandered around the Marais, and just the number of just great little shops to look at. I put up a gallery of just shop windows, and it's just phenomenal. Ugh. And we don't have physical browsing in the U.S. anymore. We just don't.
Oh, I love it.
I'm in Manhattan, and I used to be able to go.
Really,
out
you
and
can't
go to
do that in Manhattan. I thought I used to love walking in New York just because it was so fun.
You don't really have it. I mean, you have some chain stores, you have the Gap, and you have Best Buy, but I can't go to record stores anymore. I can't go to bookstores anymore.
It's true.
There's nothing to wander.
It's true.
Yeah, I was just thinking, the only time I go to Best Buy is when there's something very specific that I need, and I always motor directly past all of the marketing stuff and go straight to the aisle.
Amazon.
I think Fry's is the only electronics store that I'll really kind of take my time and wander and look.
That's unique, unique to California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Amazon. That's my fault. I'm buying everything on Amazon.
Oh, I am too. Yeah.
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 So Google Reader going to die soon, like at the end of the month, right?
Yeah, like in 4 days, 5 days.
What are you doing? Feedly? Are you using AOLs now announced that they're going to do
I've tried AOLs. I've tried...
Digs. Feedly.
Feedly.
NetNewsWire.
Feedly has an advantage. I've been using it for a month. So I'm used to it. But I kind of like it.
Which? Feedly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I got to be honest. The only time I hit an RSS reader is to prep for the show and for All About Android. It's the only time that I kind of want this like completest view of a set of sites. Otherwise, I'm really okay with just sort of, you know, finding links through my various social streams. I started trying Potluck yesterday. Which I kind of like. That's the new thing that from the Branch team. I haven't settled on another reader yet. I guess I don't know. I was kind of waiting for everybody else who's a power RSS reader to come to a consensus and then go to that thing. Although I'm interested in Dig Reader.
The AOL one is actually not bad either. I got to give them points. It's
a private beta, but you could sign up.
I signed up and I got into both of those.
Reader.aol.com.
I'm a little upset that I think we're, in one sense, we're moving away from the notion of feeds, and I like feeds. The New York Times has been killing blogs like crazy.
Yeah.
And say, well now our own media pages act like the blogs. Well, no, they're static collections rather than feeds, or as Dave Weiner would say, rivers. And the unpackaged nature of an RSS feed and find the stuff that interests you in it, I still like. It's not the whole world, but it's part of the world, and we're moving a lot of things away from that, which bothers me.
Well,
maybe
I guess
I'm just an true. Old fart.
And all of these, unfortunately, are in beta, all these readers here. They're not...
They might not quite be at where Google Reader was. Ken from Chicago was saying, surely you're subscribed to the Twit feeds. Of course, with podcasts is a different thing.
I
certainly use a podcaster, and I certainly subscribe to the shows that I want. I guess that's basically a feed reader, right? But that's kind of a different thing. I'm talking about just reading websites versus.
I think you're the one who got me on the podcast one I use now, Gina,
which was Dogcatcher,
Pocket Casts.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I didn't realize this, but Yahoo's acquisition of Tumblr has already gone through. It's a done deal. Yeah. Meanwhile, Google says the FTC is going to review the Waze deal. This one might take a while.
I want that one to go through just because I want...
Yeah.
I love Waze.
Lawyers, according to this article of the Wall Street Journal, say it's unlikely the FTC would tell Google they can't get Waze. You'd have to find evidence that it would significantly crimp competition in the mapping market. And I think you can make a pretty good case that there's some other good competitors there.
Though, last week, Gina showed us the carousel of local advertisers and things. Somebody did a study and found that the clicks on the carousel are 48% versus 15% on the map. And Google's invented another thing. So Google Local, they really could... They don't own that kind of local advertising now, but that's probably the fear.
That carousel is the search result bar. If you say pizza parlors in New York City, you get a list of nearby pizza parlors. Great idea.
And the click-through is really high.
Is it really high? Well, because it's the right result.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty.
Yeah, it's visual. It makes sense. It's local. It's right
there's
at the top there.
Under the numbers, this is a number I'm not going to use, Leo, so it's okay. But under the numbers... there's a heat map of clicks and the carousel, of course. Huh. Because it's pretty and it's useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Sullivan, running in search engine land, notes that DuckDuckGo has posted a 50% traffic increase in the last 8 days, probably because of the NSA Prism stuff. He says, but it's not. He says people don't care about search privacy.
Because the number is still tiny.
It's still teeny weeny teensy weeny.
And I had a little Jarvis fit. DuckDuckGo PR people a week and a half ago, we didn't talk about this in the show, but right after the NSA stuff breaks, and there was still the mistaken belief that the NSA had direct connections into the servers of Google and Facebook and such, which was wrong. DuckDuckGo sends out a press release and wants me to interview them because... now you can not have to use awful Google. And I thought that was just awfully exploitive of what is for everybody a bad situation. It's bad for the internet. And to exploit it in that way, I got pissed. And I told him, that's flackery and leave me alone.
Wow.
I thought that was untoward.
Well, in a way, it doesn't prove anything. If you look at this graph, this is DuckDuckGo compared to Google. Here's DuckDuckGo before the Prism revelations. Here's DuckDuckGo after. Still kind of small compared to Google.
Yeah. That was a good analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is sort of exploitative in that it's using people's fear, right, to promote the product. But we see this a lot. What was that? What was that Scroogled,
Microsoft
ad?
Gmail man.
Yeah, there's one where somebody's saying, did you know the Google Play Store that developers have your name and address and phone number and all your personal information whenever you buy an app? That doesn't happen on our platform. Which I was like, I'm a developer. I have a developer console. I was like, I do. I don't have any of that information. I've never seen my users' names and phone numbers and addresses. Like, that's news to me.
Yes, wonderful.
Wait till we start using Google Mine. Gina's going to be in all of our underwear drawers.
I can send you snail mail now.
Should it be boxers or briefs? I know.
Ooh, I shall send you underpants.
Gina, you should guess.
No. No, she shouldn't.
No, she should not.
I didn't tell you I'm collecting everybody's to-do list and running algorithms.
Oh, yeah, you could do that, couldn't you?
What your life is like. And,
why
yeah,
aren't you doing that? You're missing out on some great opportunities.
Well, that would be some really interesting data, though. At an aggregate
it would be. People's to-do lists are very, very private. I mean, that's one of the selling points of DoTags is it goes straight to Dropbox. I never, you know, my app doesn't see any of it. But yeah, it's indicative of, you know, it tells you a lot about your life, your intentions. It's intention.
Yeah.
I think you should put out a press release that you've seen a great increase in the number of users of to-do texts since Prism.
Oh, yeah, everybody's just jumping on that command line.
Yeah. I love it. Plain text is the new black.
Bash.
Bash. I want to use the bash shell. Anything else?
I think that's good.
All right, let's get our picks of the week. And I'll start with you, Jeff Jarvis. What's your pick?
Oh.
Wait a minute. What am I saying? That's a different show. In this show, we always start with Gina Trapani and
ladies first.
And her tip of the week. I apologize. Didn't mean to throw you, Jeff.
My tip this week is more of a PSA than anything. Like we just said, Google Reader shutting down, I think, in 4 days on July 1st. If you're anything like me, you've probably seen the little pop-up that said this is going to go away on July 4th. July 1st, make sure you back up your data. I just dismiss it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that later. But you really got to do that this week. So make sure you take out your data. Go into Google Reader. Go to Settings, Import, Export. Yeah, Settings and then Reader Settings. Thank you, Chad. Import export tab and then export your can't read that word and it takes you directly to Takeout, which will export all your subscriptions.
It's an OPML file. Okay,
yeah, good. It's an OPML file.
It would have been cool
so,
if Google just had emailed us all our OPML.
Just
files.
Give me my yeah. But
it would have been nice if they had done that.
Now here's the question: if you sign up for Feedly or one of these other alternatives, and they are pulling your Google Reader, is that sufficient, or will I not have access to that later?
That should be sufficient. It's OPML, which is an open standard for subscriptions for outlines and RSS subscriptions. And any feed reader is going to be able to import OPML. So that will be sufficient. I haven't tried this, but I'm pretty sure it won't preserve your like read and unread items. Right. So you might want to do one last pass through on Reader and make sure that you've seen everything you want to see, and then just import, you know, export your feeds, import them into your new Reader, mark all as read, and then you'll be able to kind of start fresh. But I got to do this, and I got to move to something, so I'll be prepared for the show. The changelog may not make it if I don't have a if I don't have a good feed reader going. So yeah, you'll see when you click on export, it takes a few seconds to build your feed. If you've got tons and tons of subscriptions, you can say, hey, email me, and then when this is done. And that's thanks to the data liberation folks doing Google Takeout. So there you go.
So, yeah, because I'm on my Feedly, and it has all my Google Reader links in it. But I presume then I don't have to do anything additionally. I didn't import it. It just did it by itself.
It did it by itself, so you could be connected to Reader. Right. So you won't be able to do that after July 1st.
But
right?
if I'm hoping, you know, maybe I still should export it, because I'm hoping that you know, on July 1st, all of a sudden, Feedly goes, well, Google Reader's dead. I don't know what you want to read, because that would be bad.
Right. Yeah. Right, in case it's doing a live. I'm not sure if Feedly
might be
doing
live.
Live.
I don't know.
Yeah. If it's doing a live sync or not.
I think
RIP,
I better do the
Google
export.
Reader. It's been a good few years.
It was indeed.
Jeff Jarvis, your number of the week.
The number of the week is 32. The Internet Hall of Fame, which I didn't know even existed. From the Internet Society, has installed 32 new members of its Hall of Fame, including, I saw this because John Perry Barlow did a humble brag about this, as well he should, on Twitter.
Did he win?
Aaron Schwartz, yes, Aaron Schwartz is there. Schwartz is there. Oh. Posthumously, Jimmy Wales.
Oh.
Richard Stallman.
Yeah.
Mark Andreessen.
That's a good list.
A whole bunch of people I don't know.
Steve
Are there any
Wolf.
Women on this list? Please tell me there's at least one woman
That's
on this
a
list.
Good question, Gina.
What is it? Now I want to look at this. So where is this Internet Hall of Fame? Is there a place, a physical place?
You know what, Gina? Karen Banks, networking leader who used information and communication technologies and applications as tools for social change.
Okay, good.
Henriette Esterhuizen, that sounds kind of female. Mm-hmm. Ida Holtz, sounds Ida kind Holtz. Of female.
Ida Holtz, I don't know.
This is a pretty good group. Yeah, there are a lot of names
Eklund
here.
Emily Eklund-Lewinde.
Nice.
Innovator in implementation of DNS security extensions technology and usage procedures.
Jimmy Wales is on there. That's appropriate.
Jimmy Wales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of women and WikiLeakers. Sorry. That's terrible. So it's internethalloffame.org. And is this the first year?
It didn't say.
This is the Internet Society they're doing. And they're going to have
Society.
A...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a legitimate... They're going to have a awards ceremony August 3rd in Berlin. You can watch it on a live stream.
It was supposed to be announced in Istanbul, but... ...
Istanbul
this
is
internet
constant.
Thing messed it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at all these people. I know some of these people.
And who else do you know in this group?
I'm sure that you've interviewed a lot of these people, Leo.
Yeah. Bob Metcalf. John Perry Barlow's been on Triangulation. Good for him.
I was going to say, this could be your upcoming slate for Triangulation.
We should just, all these people.
Just knock through
just
everyone.
Go through them one by one.
What did you do?
Mark Andreessen. Yeah, this is good. Richard
Next
Stallman
year,
played the flute on our show some moons ago and sang the Free Software Foundation
the
song.
Free Software song?
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I tried to get him to do a dramatic reading of his great manifesto, but he won't do it.
Barlow. Yeah. Yeah, I tried too. You asked me when we got him on Triangulation.
That's right. I asked you to do it. That's right.
Yeah, and he said no.
Yeah.
He said, actually, I think he disowned it, really. It was
not
the really one that begins, disowned. People
no,
of the internet.
I asked him that because people said he disowned it, and he said, no. I just, this is a little over the top.
Yeah.
Which is his charm.
But that's what's good about it. And a dramatic reading would be so cool.
I want you to get Stallman to do a dramatic reading of his writer. That's what I want.
The GNU Linux writer?
Yeah, the packet that he sends out in advance.
You
of
may
talk.
Not call it Linux. You must call it GNU Linux.
GNU Linux.
That's the only one I know. Does he have other things that he won't do?
Yeah, he apparently sent out this sends
oh,
out
yeah,
this.
He doesn't want business class because he'd rather you pay him more.
Oh, that's good. I don't mind that.
He wants a ride from the airport, I think, or something.
This is reasonable.
Yeah, there's some really good parts where he's like, you know, sometimes if we go out to dinner and I'm bored with the conversation, like I'm going to pull out my laptop and answer email because I've got a lot of email to answer.
He's not exactly, but at least he's upfront about it.
Yeah.
He did not do any of that when we had him on Tech TV. He merely said that for the day that he was going to be on the show, we should call Linux GNU Linux the whole time. And I think we did. I can't remember what we decided. Because I don't normally do those kinds of things, but him, maybe.
That seems reasonable. That's fine. That seems okay.
Yeah. I don't really have a tool. I've been trying to think, but nothing happens. So.
No more sponsors hanging around?
No, that's it. We're just going to go home.
Yeah.
There's things I want to recommend, but I'm not sure I can. I'm reviewing right now, for instance, the new Logitech smart remote control, which will turn your Android phone or your iPhone, but your Android phone into a smart remote control. Now, we already have that capability. Well, you don't, Gina, because you don't have the special software that does it, but the Galaxy
is IR Blaster?
The IR Blaster. Galaxy S4 and HTC One have IR Blasters. And I have to say, there's no reason to buy the Logitech stuff because this works so well by itself. You don't really need to spend any more. You've got software if you have a Galaxy S4 and HTC One. Now, if you don't, stay tuned for my review on Wednesday. I'm having some issues with setup and so forth, but it'll be on before you buy next week. Next Tuesday, I should say.
No, my Fios.
I know what I was going to talk about. Thank you, chat room, for reminding me. And I'm surprised Gina didn't mention the Google Cloud Playground.
Yes.
I meant to mention that. Thank you.
What's the difference between a playground and a sandbox?
It's kind of like a sandbox.
Okay.
It was kind of a developer-y thing, right?
Yeah. So the idea is, let's say you want to learn Python or Right now, it's just Python. Although presumably Go and other Google languages will be included. You can go to the Google Playground. It's cloud-playground.appspot.com. Log in if you wish. But if you do, you should be aware that all of your code and coding will be visible. And they say this is a shared public playground. Anyone can read, modify, or delete your projects. But it is a great way to learn stuff. So they come with a bunch of project templates, a Hello World, of course, in Python, but also more sophisticated stuff like a guest book. You can just take these projects. App engine last across the finish line. Example application uses the task queue API. So if you're trying to learn Python, this would be great. And so once you copy it over, then you can open your project. Here's the Hello World project. Now, there's a lot of extra stuff because, you know, there's some YAML that you have to do. And, you know, Hello World in Python is really can be as simple as print Hello World. But in this case, you have to put a handler and so forth, because what happens when you run it is look at the bottom of the page. It runs right here in the bottom of the page. There's the Hello World.
Oh, interesting. So this is it's a little Code Academy-ish.
Yeah, it's Code Academy. Exactly.
Not quite as...
Without any instruction at all.
Right. So, and
you can do this yourself. Python has a number of IDEs that will allow you to run Python and so forth. But I think this is kind of cool. I think it's kind of cool.
Gina, did you see EditE?
Oh, that's another cool one.
No.
Yeah, EditE. This is a code editing environment for
Dropbox. Or no.
For Drive.
Oh, for Drive. Very cool.
Create dynamic Google Docs.
So you want to, you can create, when you go to create, instead of a doc, you can create, not that I could do it, but I have it, I installed it anyway. You can create.
You can actually put a website on Google Drive.
HTML, yeah. JavaScript, Pixlr, website, and other stuff. And these just become new ways to create these things.
So I'm in the part. So I need to. It's in the web store. So if I go to the Chrome web store and search for, is it? It's EditE.
EditEY.
I forgot.
It's a Chrome extension.
Oh yeah, HTML for editor for Google Drive. Very
simple
right,
code editor for Google Drive allows you to create new HTML, JavaScript, or CSS files right from the Create menu. And it's free.
Very nice. It looks
cool.
Cool cloud tools.
Yeah. I'm digging it. I like that the Chrome-based cloud code editors are getting better.
Well, that was one of the first things I looked at when I got the Pixel was, what can I do with this? Because it's pretty limited.
Yeah.
Pretty limited. Good. I think this was a fabulous episode. Tonight, Jeff Jarvis is going to get glass.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay! I'm interested to hear what you think, Jeff.
When will you have it?
Well, I probably can't pick it up until I'm back from Europe the next trip.
Oh, no. You got to get it before you go.
I would hope so. I'll see if I can get it Monday.
Say, tell them you need it for the show next Wednesday. Are you going to be here next Wednesday?
Stop at the border with it. No, I'll be in Belgium.
Well, if it's Wednesday, this must be Belgium.
Yes.
So you will not be on the show next Wednesday?
No, I'm planning to be.
You will, from Belgium.
I have to fly Thursday morning. This is a sin. I have never been to Rome, and I'm going back and forth to Rome one day to go to Big Tent event.
Oh, that's terrible.
You have to eat pasta, Jeff.
Yeah, at least eat pasta.
You have to eat pasta in Rome. And get
that's,
some.
That's sick, isn't it?
That's frustrating. That's frustrating.
That's wrong.
Well, good. We'll talk to you next week in Belgium. Tell them you're going to this thing. They're going to get you the glass. You say, look, I'm going to a Google event in Rome. You need to have the glass for me.
All right, I'll try.
Come on.
That's true. That would be good for them.
Come on. And then maybe next week we can all wear glass. You know, it's the 3rd of July.
Yes.
Is that okay with you?
Fine with me.
Do your people celebrate in any way?
The celebrations will happen the following day. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm home with a baby. I got nothing. I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be here next Wednesday then, and maybe we'll all be wearing glass. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And Jeff will be in Belgium.
It will likely be a news day.
Yeah.
But we'll have some fun.
Thank you for joining us. We do This Week in Google Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
2100 UTC on twit.tv. If you can, watch live. We'd love it if you do. But if you can't, of course, on-demand audio and video always available after the fact at twit.tv/twig. You can find Gina Trapani's writings and more at her blog, smarterware.org. You blog, still blog there? You get time?
Try to start blogging again. It's kind of hard. Yeah, I'm going to start writing again, though, there. I've been writing more code than prose lately.
Put some glass pictures or something up there.
I gotta get back to it. My last post is like, hey, I just had a baby. I'll be back as soon as, you know, we're sleeping through the night. And that was like 9 months ago.
That's it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. I have to like update WordPress.
Yeah, you bet. Oosh. You gotta update it before you mention that.
Yeah, sorry.
You're about 18 versions behind if you haven't done anything since January.
It's rock solid, people. Don't even try it.
There is a, I just saw a plugin for, what was it for security on WordPress? Was it SSH logins? I think it was.
Oh, yeah. We won't get into it, but
no, let's not.
And they don't get updated. Anyway, what I have been working on is to do text for Android. There's actually some good. I'm using the new Play Store beta testing, so you can opt into the beta test if you're interested in trying that out. At blog.todotext.com, the instructions are there.
Oh, cool.
And I've been doing a lot of work on ThinkUp too. So I'm going to get back to writing soon. So don't
give
up. It's
fun. Coding is so much fun.
It's so much more fun than writing. It is. You know if it works or not. With writing, you don't know if it works until it's published.
Right. Mm-hmm. Todotext.com. TXT, not TEXT. Yeah. If you go to buzzmachine.com, Jeff Jarvis rants there regularly.
Arr!
And gnashes his teeth. He's also a professor of journalism at the City University of New York. Has been seen at the Stonewall lately. And
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Especially now.
Nothing but good things. And, of course, his latest book is Public Parts, available at all finer bookstores.
Gutenberg the Geek is soon to come out as an audiobook.
Oh,
good for you.
And in German, Chinese, and Italian.
That's what it was. It was Google Authenticator for WordPress.
Nice. Cool. I like that a lot.
Two-factor authentication. That's what it was. Thank you, chat room.
Two-fact secure.
Wouldn't that be good? I keep meaning to turn that on. I downloaded and installed the plugin, but now I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm going to set that up. That's a must install.
Yes. Two-factor authentication. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.